Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, this month we've been focusing on the family, so our last two messages have been entitled Like Father, Like Son. And among other things, these messages remind us that our children are watching us, and often they want to be just like us. Now, hopefully, we've been setting that right example for them. And over the next couple weeks, we'll be talking a little bit about how we should let God build our family. So without any further delay, here is Pastor Reynolds sharing another message from God's Word about the family.
This morning, we'd like to take our text from the book of Titus 2 and verse 1 through verse 8, and we'd like to think on the subject, how to have a scripturally sound family. Notice, Titus 2 verses 1 through 8 speaks these words. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This morning the subject is how to have a scripturally sound family. One point we want to say right at the very start, that is, let God build your family. You can't build it. Listen, you let God build your family. You cannot do it. I know that there's many self-help books out there. I know that there's many people that want to tell you what you can do to have a good family. But I'll tell you what, God can do a much better job of taking care of me. God can do a much better job of taking care of my wife. God can do a much better job of taking care of my family than anything else can ever happen. That's the truth of it. God knows exactly what we need. God understands there's differences in people. God understands that all of our children are different. Isn't it amazing that you have a mother and dad, and they have two or three or four children? How many ever number of children that they have, but they're all so very different? Isn't it amazing? It just blows your mind away to think that two parents can have such a variety in children. The fact is that God knows exactly what He's doing. God knows what your children can be used for His benefit. And that's why that we need to let God build our families. We cannot. Notice the text. In the book of Titus 2, verses 1 through 8, notice here that the Bible talks about the aged men. The Bible talks about the aged women. The Bible talks about the young women. The Bible talks about the young men as well. But notice this. In all of these things, the Bible starts out in verse 1 and says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Notice that. It is our responsibility to do what God wants us to do, and God can take care of our children. Notice in verse number 7, the Bible said, here in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. So at the beginning and at the ending, Paul is telling Titus that it is more important that he be right with God than anybody else. This is the truth of it. You see, if every person just reads the Bible and they understand that in raising children, in having a family, in understanding all of these intricacies that God wants us to understand, if we'll just grasp the thought that God can raise our children much better than we can. Well, that takes a lot of worry away from us, don't it? And it puts responsibility exactly where it ought to be. Notice that as a mother and a dad, you want your children to be responsible to Almighty God. What the family will do, the society will eventually accept as normal. Now, the family is the smallest organization in society, and yet this very small group of people determines the ultimate strength of all the other organizations in society. It's just like grass that holds dirt on a hill. So the family is tiny, yet it holds all of society together. And when the family is destroyed, society is also destroyed. You have your part to do. And your part is to always do what you need to do and let God take care of everything else. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, we find here that God creates the family. Genesis 2 and verse 18 reads this way. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Notice what the Bible says. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Notice here that Adam was alive for a while by himself. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have anybody at all. And you notice here that in verse number 19, the Bible says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. But there was no helpmeet for Adam. No animal would do. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, created the woman. This is what the Bible says. God created here the family. This was not created by man, but God created the family. And God intended for a man to be with his wife and for them to be happy in the Lord. God intended for Adam and his wife to have children. God intended for them to raise those children up that they might understand that God is who they are accountable to. God also created the government. God also created the church. All of these three organizations were created by God, and God intended these things to be for the good of mankind, not for their hurt or their destruction at all. Adam was without a helpmeet for a while. But after a while, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And the Bible said that Adam slept. And the Bible says that God took one of the ribs of Adam, and there he closed up the flesh. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You know, years ago, I was in biology class in college, and the professor, he had a skeleton that he had in the classroom. And he wanted to know if this was a male or female skeleton. And, of course, nobody knew. We'd never seen a skeleton before. And finally, one little girl, she spoke up and she said, I think that's a male skeleton. The professor said, why? And she said, well, it's because that there's an equal number of ribs on both sides. And the Bible says that God took a rib from man and made a woman. And then the professor was able to laugh at her about her biblical belief. But the point that the professor missed was that the Bible says that God took the rib from Adam. The Bible didn't say anywhere that God took a rib from every man. But God only took the rib from Adam. And he used that rib to create the woman. God took this bone, and from this bone, God created this woman. And when Adam looked at the woman, he was overjoyed. Did you know that the woman was not made from the foot of Adam? No. Did you know that the woman was not made from the head of Adam? No. But the woman was made from the rib of Adam. You know why? Because she's an equal part with Adam. She's equal with him. That's what God wanted. And that is exactly what God made. And he made it all perfect and complete in his own sight. And Adam liked it. I mean, he really did like it. Now, a lot of people would say, well, God didn't make them equal at all, because the Bible says that now the woman is the helpmeet. And they take that as a bad thing. But it's really not. Every man needs a helper. Every man does. Notice this also. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, the Bible said in verse number 27, "So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth." Who is God talking to? God is talking to the man and the woman both. All right? Notice, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, there's a totally different thing that we're under now, because of sin that's entered into the world. And sin has filled this earth with its inequality. And that's really what happens. Sin has filled the earth with inequality. It's not God, but it's rather the work of the devil himself that's filled this world with inequality. Notice, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and verse number 17, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of the which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." I remind you that Genesis 3 and verse 17 occurs after sin entered into the world, not before. I read to you in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 27, 28, how that God created man equal with a woman. But sin, when sin came into the world, it changed everything around. It caused much torment and much trial upon this earth. I'm thankful to know that creation, the way that God created it, is exactly the way it is. I pray that today you would understand these simple things that God's Word says to you.
You know, we are thankful you're able to join us this morning, and we'd like to encourage you to check us out online at independencebaptist.org. From the website, you'll find many different books and articles and prior radio broadcasts. We also want to remind you about another website, which is www.sermonaudio.com/IBC. And from this site, you'll be able to listen to full-length sermons that have been preached from the pulpit there at Independence Baptist Church. And lastly, we want to invite you to attend services with us this morning. We'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, 4:30 evening services. And of course, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Well, the clock is once again telling us that our time for today is up, but we do look forward to joining you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.